This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Mikey on Joy.
Thomas, you're back from your big whirlwind adventure.
Yeah, but I'm not happy.
Why? We're already at the gate. Why aren't you happy?
I'm already miserable. Yeah.
Why aren't you happy?
Well, I don't know. Just not happy. I want to be looking at wild animals in the street, not... Yeah.
How was it? Was it... Were you really, like, up close all the time?
All the time.
So like, you weren't staying in a fancy resort couple times?
We actually had to sleep in, like, a little round mud house that had, like, straw on top of it.
Get out. It was beautiful.
Yeah. But at night time,
we
had to be locked in because the honey badgers get you.
The honey badgers.
That's what they told me. They said the honey badgers are going to be the most dangerous thing at night when you sleep.
Out of all things, I didn't think the honey badger would get
you. Because we're surrounded by an electric fence and the lions can't get through that and things like that, but the honey badgers can burrow under it and...
You've already got a bad reputation for a honey badger.
Yeah, correct. And the funny thing is, being South Africa, they're all into their... rugby union
of
as
course.
Well. So, yeah, we got to talk about the honey badger. They all knew who he was, yeah.
And they probably knew who you were as well.
Well, no. I hope not.
So you've recently been away.
Oh, I have.
How are you with flights? Because I got you a neck pillow and you didn't even know these things existed.
I didn't. And it was really good because it actually holds your neck in place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did actually, when I arrived there... because I went to the osteo 2 days before who fixed my neck up. I wore the pillow. She didn't crack me this time. She did some other stuff. But I had to go and find somebody in South Africa to do my neck. I was looking for witch doctors on the corner side of the corner. Yeah. I was hoping I was going to get a witch doctor, but no, it wasn't. She was a lovely doctor.
No shamans, nothing of the sort?
I saw them out there, but I think a lot of them were scammers But, you know, I love a scam. You know, I'm the first one to scam. But you're right, the plane is the worst bit getting there. It's 14 hours straight.
Is that right?
From Sydney to Johannesburg. But it's not the plane. It's the cattle that you have to sit with. Please, God, never let me have to sit up the back of that plane again. It was horrible.
So I'm assuming you went in cattle class, you went in an economy.
Well, in economy.
Yeah, right.
Because when I was coming on the plane, I saw this lovely little article and there was this people that had like a miniature horse got onto the plane with these people in America. I was so excited. It's it's a horse that helps them. You know, like you have
like
a
seeing eye dog type thing,
yeah,
but a horse.
Well, she gets nervous, so she calls that her... Yeah.
I've got so many questions, because my friend's got a miniature pony, and still large. It's still, you know.
Yeah.
I'd assume, like, it's bigger than Donkey from Shrek. That's a terrible example. It's a big thing. It's like, you know, is it about my nipple height?
Well, that's not a miniature pony then, is it?
Yeah, it's
that's just a
small
pony.
No, it's still pretty tiny.
Yeah.
Like if I got on it, I'm sure it wouldn't enjoy the...
No, well, I don't think you're meant to ride ponies.
Yeah. But how do they fit that? Because I know that the aisles are so small, I can't even fit through
them.
Put
the picture on there. This one was like as big as a German Shepherd. Like miniature. Yeah, the miniature horse goes
That's
by
cute.
The name of Flirty the Mini Service Horse. So he's a service horse. So she suffers terrible anxiety.
Yeah, right.
So it's actually classed as a therapy pet.
Right.
So she can cheat and she gets on the plane with it. And I'm saying to Wayne, do you know what? I would rather be sitting next to a horse purring in the than half these people. It's like, see.
What were your observations of the people, the cattle?
Well, I noticed that when you get put up the back, you get treated like a different class of human, even though you pay for the same seat. They bring you a lovely menu and says, here's your choices, you know, chicken, beef, you know, some vegetarian salad. By the time they get to the back of the plane, sorry, we've got nothing, here's your fish.
That's
and I'm
true.
Like, whoa, fish, you know, at 14,000 feet, you know.
Don't
There's no fish
it.
Up here, thank you. I don't trust your fish. So that was them. But, you know, like you're having dinner and next minute the people in front of you just throw their seat back on top of you. And I'm thinking, oh, come. I didn't put my seat all the way back. I'm not that type of traveller. I go half back and I think that's good enough for the people behind me.
Well, I think we discussed this last week potentially. I don't think that you should ever be able to recline your seat, even on a really long flight.
Oh, 14 hours, you have to go back a little bit.
Really? I think it's just so rude because it's already so cramped in economy. My knees are already touching the seat. And then when they squish back, like I have my laptop on the tray table, I'm trying to like watch some Netflix or something, and then they're ruining that for me. I got nothing.
And now they've got little TVs in the back of everyone's screen, and the guy behind me, I think, played solitaire, and all I got was him hitting the screen for about four hours. And I'm thinking, you know, it's touchscreen. You don't actually need to belt it with a closed fist. You Jill. And I'm thinking, oh, and I won't go, just keep calming yourself. Because you know me, I've got to get up and tell everybody.
Oh, yeah. I did actually tell
one family, they had the most cutest kids, these three children. One was a baby and they just behaved the whole way. I had to get up and say, your children are fantastic. While there was other people, she sat there on her phone, whatever she did, while her kid just ran up and down and up. And
that's
there was
a nightmare.
One place where I thought, Thomas, don't stick your foot out because it could end in... But that's what I wanted to do. But it's terrible. After 8 hours of this kid just slacking up past you, you're thinking, oh, I could trip you over.
Another round, folks. It's time for...
Wisdom with my co-host Tom. It's time for Tom's Wisdom. Yeah.
Oh, I've missed Tom's wisdom so much, and you're going to come back with plenty of it from your South Africa trip, I'm sure, Thomas.
Sure, feed all the ugly to the lions. That was me, yeah. I did actually threaten Wayne that if we didn't see a lion, that would he be happy for me to bleed him and drag him behind the Jeep.
Oh, my God.
We saw a lion, so we'll say.
Okay, cool. Good to hear. We're talking before about how you were stuck in cattle class and you hated it. I was, similarly, when I went to Cairns, a shorter trip, mind you, I was also stuck in cattle class, and I was showing you a photo before of this little toddler in the seat in front of me, and he would not stop bouncing around and staring over the seat and just staring at me. I was exhausted. It was like 10 o'clock at night. How do I tell the parents of this child, you're doing a bad job, rein your kid in? Because you had the same problem, didn't you?
Well, I did a long time ago, but I was hungover getting on a plane,
yeah.
And the kid kept kicking the back of my seat. And I did ask the child nicely, please, could you stop doing that? It's very annoying. You know, they just sit there and their feet go like that. It doesn't work. You can't tell children what to do. Especially if they're with their mum and dad, they feel like they've got this shield on.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get me, my daddy's bigger than you, you know, the whole business. So what you do is you go and whisper in the parents' ear. Yeah, and I basically said, if your child kicks the back of my seat again, I'll start kicking you. So I didn't threaten the child, I threatened the dad. I'm telling you, the dad stops the kid from doing it the whole time.
So there's no polite way of going about it. I have to go to threats. Is that right?
Well, no, you could have jumped over and get your face in the parent's face and go, could you keep your child away from me, please? Yeah. So I think that's what you've got to do.
Okay.
It's called mirroring.
So you're allowed to
I think that's the best way to treat people now.
Match and mirror. These parents were so proud of their kid. They're like, as he was jumping about, they had these endearing eyes on them.
Nothing's worse than those parents that think their snotty-nosed little kid is fantastic.
He was the worst. Normally, when I want to not intimidate kids, but I want to get them to like stop annoying me, when they stare at me, I just stare straight back at them and they get all scared and they walk away.
Or you give them the evils.
He just stared back at me straight into my soul, this little devil child. He did not turn off at all. He was good. He played me.
Well, and saying he beat you.
He bested me in my own game.
I love it. Poor Mikey got bested by a four-year-old on a trip to Kent. But I'm telling you, those kids from Queensland are tough. They live in the bush. They've got to live with tiger snakes, giant pythons, crocodiles, sharks, box jellyfish. What's those toads that get around and kill you?
I should have talked about
I'm telling you, those Queensland kids are tough. There's no way you're going to be a four-year-old Queensland, especially one from Cairns.
Wow, and this is cyclones. Tom, that was so unhelpful. Another Tom's Wisdom, and it was successful.
And the cyclones as well, right. You know what dramatically stops? Tom, your holiday. Now you're back in doom and gloom Melbourne.
It's
how are you feeling?
It's so sad, isn't it? Well, I feel sad.
What do you mean you feel sad? Like, let me take you back there. Let me close your eyes, Thomas. I'm going to take you on an adventure here. You're back in Africa, tell me about the animals. Tell me about the lions, the giraffes. What did you see, my friend?
Well, we saw it all. Like, isn't that amazing? How lucky were we? People talk about the big five. We did the big seven.
What do you mean?
The big seven. Well, we got to see wild African hunting dogs, which are very rare. You never get to see them. There's only like 250 left in the park.
Wow.
And I got to see, a flock. No, what would you call a...
A gang? No, not a gang. What are they called?
Yeah, a group of puppies. A group of puppies coming down.
Yeah.
That was so cute. So we got to have them run to 10 metres away. I got to watch a lion eat a zebra. Stuck in the middle of white rhinos coming around us. Then we got chased by a bull elephant, which was probably the only time I got scared.
Oh.
There was a few times I actually got scared.
Really?
Well, because you're standing out there and this is like hyena looking at you. You could reach out and actually pat it. You're not allowed to put your hands outside of the open air vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah, because anything that goes out there looks like food. 4 to 5 people a year get killed, get pulled out of there.
Wow.
But they're usually idiots that are waving at the line.
Yeah.
Because when, let's just say like the line or the animal's not looking at you, they've all got a habit of turning their butts on you. Like they kind of know you're looking. So you kind of want to go, yoo-hoo. So like it looks at you, but you don't yoo-hoo
you
the wild animals.
You want to wave a leg out there. Yeah. You wanna, hello.
Actually, that's really funny trying to do a wee outside the car. Oh, but you know what? We saw the animals. That was
you
fantastic.
You weed on the animals?
Well, no, you've got to try and do a wee in the middle of the safari. So you have to kind of spend 10 minutes making sure there's nothing hiding in the grass next to you while you do kind of, you open the door and try and wee out of it before the animal comes and eats you.
That's terrifying.
But we did stop by the side of the river. I don't know. Look, he said we were safe to get out and I trusted this guy. We got out of the car and I thought, oh, this is really cute. It felt really nice being out there. Next minute, we got our car got raided by a bunch of like monkeys. All just come in, and next minute, I could see my black handbag, like my black travel bag, being moved. I thought, hang on, that's every cent, every credit card, our passports. Well, they're trying to get all the food out of there, so they're raiding it, pulling out lollies, going through. But I could see my black bag, and I'm thinking, so I had to send our ranger to chase the baboons. They are so scary. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But we put plenty of pictures on, like, Wayne and Tom, if you go and then have a look. Did you see my
gorgeous
videos?
Oh, they were... And the photos you took...
I got stuck in a herd, 2,000 buffalo, or water buffalo, Cape buffalo coming through. That was amazing. I thought we were going to get run over then.
The real-life Lion King.
But you're sitting there in an open-air vehicle. It is crazy. And these animals, I mean, they're wild.
Yeah.
These are not... You know, pretend ones in the zoo.
Yeah. Where did you stay at night?
So we just kept driving, and then they stop at these little campsites that are surrounded by electric fences.
Okay.
And it was like little mud brick round houses with thatch roofs, and then they lock you in there at night. Yeah, and if you want to pee, you just pee in a jar, I suppose.
Right.
Because you can't get into the honey badger's going to get you. The honey badger.
You said that before. I'm going to look up.
Well, they've got these big giant nails, and they're just aggressive and
like. Are they quick? These.
Oh yeah, they'll kill lions. And we're talking. We're talking the things about as big as a cat. Get a few of them together, and they take a lion down.
They look so ugly. They're like big skunks.
Oh no!
They're scary.
The ugliest one was the warthogs. Even I didn't want to take a photo of them after a while.
Really?
I thought, oh, you're so unattractive. Put that ugly beak away.
Not like Timon and Pumbaa type.
Like Timon and Pumbaa. And that's what I said. I get there. I go, well, where are the meerkats? He goes, bloody Lion King. So in South Kruger, there's no meerkats. They're up in the desert in. No, Ribia. I don't know. Everyone even say the country because I'll look like a fool.
Yeah, right.
But we went to Mozambique, to the border up there, through the national park, through the top and around. And
right.
It was the best.
Tom's back from his South Africa journey. We've been hearing about it all morning. If you've missed any of
animals.
Animals, including the people. They're all animals, right?
No, only the people on the
Not the natives. The plains.
Back. Yeah.
The cattle class people. Yeah.
The Africans were beautiful.
Yeah.
They were fantastic. I did everything I was told not to do. I went and spent a day in Soweto, down in the little slum areas, which is what they said. Was fantastic.
Fine. You didn't get abducted or anything like
that? Nobody. I did get told by the man who took us there to stop walking off down, you know, places and behind things with people
I
don't know.
You're doing that.
Well, the guy says to me, come with me. We went to this old nuclear power station in the middle of Soweto, and that's where they have their big parties. And between it was like... You got to bungee jump. $35 to bungee jump.
God.
Straight onto rocks.
Oh.
Are you making fun of my pronunciation?
Oh,
Soweto.
Soweto. I thought you said Sorrento or Soweto.
No, it's like Soweto.
Yeah, do you know what it stands for? Fun fact of the day.
Oh, no, tell me, please, sir.
Southwest Township. So it was basically built as like this massive place where all the South Africans would live and then they'd train all the workers.
I've got a nerd doing my Tinder. Oh, no.
In 1948, when the apartheid happened, which is, do you know what apartheid was?
No, I don't.
Well, it was actually quite a sad thing, and maybe I was old enough to do it. So it was like it's a policy of the government, which was the relationships between white South Africans, who were the minority, and the non-white, which are the majority, which basically sanctioned racial segregation. So they weren't allowed to walk around the streets without passports. They weren't allowed to get certain jobs. They weren't allowed to vote. They were then taken out of Johannesburg and all moved to Soweto, which is
exactly
where that
right.
town come.
About a million people lived there, and they were trained in to do all the the you know, the cleaning jobs and like the other sorts of jobs in the main town.
Correct.
Every day.
Yeah.
It was a really
And it was terrible. They weren't so if you so we went to the jail there where Nelson Mandela, who was probably the most famous African to be locked up, 27 years, and we got to go there. Just so say the whites go in to jail.
Sorry, I'm getting the history lesson. I'm going to turn the music off here. Go
the
on.
Whites go into jail, and then there was also, well, they used to have three signs: whites, coloured, and blacks. And that was signs on everything. It was terrible. They're still
even
there.
Benches in the street would correct. Be like whites only, blacks only.
Yeah, what you can use where buses, certain buses. And I was kind of confused at first. I said, I didn't know what to say. Like, what do you mean by coloured? Like, I didn't know what to say, but it was basically Indians, Chinese, or if it was a mixed race people. So they then were treated terrible. But you should have seen the difference in the food. But all the white people were rapists and murderers. They're the only ones locked up in jail. Everybody else was either didn't carry their card with them, was political unrest, didn't told their boss to go and nick it off. And it was quite terrible. Mm. Up until 1994, it only happened, stopped.
Terrible.
But absolutely. You know, when they, in 1990, they let Nelson Mandela out of jail and they said, right, we're going to get rid of apartheid. We're going to let everybody have an equal vote. We're going to become a free country. There was a group of white people who started this. They had a fake Nazi flag, started protesting. They bombed Johannesburg Airport in 1992. So there was lots of things that we didn't know went on. So de Klerk said, well, bugger you all. Let's have a referendum like we did in this country. And of course, only the whites voted. How much do you think come back and said get rid of apartheid?
I'd assume not many percent at all.
70% of the white people in South Africa voted to remove apartheid.
That's great.
That just showed me again about this whole thing. We've got a few loudmouths who run around and make racist, homophobic, whether it's sexist. You know, we've got all these things happening here. Majority of people, 70% of the world's population, believe that people should be able to live their lives free and easy. The biggest word I heard from Nelson Mandela was called dignity. It has nothing to do with anything. And it made me think, so I want to read something out. This is a quote from Nelson Mandela about why his leadership style. And what's that other? Mr. Turnbull? No, what's the other one? Scott Morrow. The ScoMo. Listen here, buddy. This is from Nelson Mandela. As a leader, I have always endeavoured to listen to what each and every person had to say before I ventured to make my own opinion. That's what makes a good leader. We don't. He's not there to shove it down our throat. His job, our leader, and that's what he said, was to listen to everybody.
Be the voice of
the
people.
And then come and do it. The only thing, one problem with Nelson Mandela, one problem. There's only bloody one of him, and it's a shame he's gone. Yeah. It's what a man. I couldn't stop crying. It's funny, you spend all day there. I got to go to an AIDS orphanage in Soweto. That was just beautiful. I danced with children through there. All these kids wanted to do was just be cuddled and loved. And I come back to Wayne, and I said to Wayne, I've spent a lot of money. He goes, what'd you buy? I go, I didn't buy anything. I just gave everybody money. I didn't mean to. I couldn't help it. People living in tent sheds.
Yeah.
You know? And this lady was there, and she was crying and saying she's worried about her children and bringing them up in a tin shed. And I said, look, I don't want to sound silly, but I brought my children up in a tin shed for 5 years. Yep. We had a dirt floor until I built the next room and the next room. I go, one's a doctor now. Life can get better.
Yeah. Beautiful, Thomas. You sound like you had a very inspiring.
Well, I'm now considering I want to be African.
You're okay.
I'm going to become a calamari bushman. I'm just going to wander through the bush forever.
Wake up with Tom and Mikey, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Find all our podcasts at tomandmikey.com. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.